You're listening to UCB Ireland, serving the church, reaching the nation.
So UCB, I am delighted to have a really special guest with me today in the form of Helen from Christians Against Poverty Ireland, and we're going to have another Money Talks chat. I know that Christmas is coming and the goose is getting fat, and some of you don't even have a penny to put in the old man's hat. And so we're going to hopefully in some way endeavour to encourage you around some clever thinking, some delightful decision making that will get you to Christmas in a healthy way, and that you won't get into January going, oh no, what am I going to do for the next 12 months? Is it bread and water? So Helen, thanks for joining me. I am delighted that we have you. It's always nice to have a female voice. I know that Alan is very proactive in all the work that he does with you guys at Christian as Against Poverty, but we're really delighted that you are here as well. So thanks.
Well, thanks for having me again.
So what's the crack? What have you been up to since the last time that we had you on air?
Well, I've been busy. There are two things, I suppose, going on in my job. And one is kind of connecting with churches and training up volunteers to be able to do our money coaching. The other is supporting the churches who are actually already now doing the money coaching. And actually, even last week, I started doing some money coaching myself with Discovery Church in Galway with our great new team there. So it's all about money coaching for me. That's my role and that's my passion. I think it's fantastic. So, we've been training up people in new churches, and we have four money coaching courses going on. We've got Cork, we've got Dublin, we've got Galway, different parts of Dublin, and then training people. We've got some people training from Athlone. We've got people training from a charity that works with women who are suffering from domestic abuse. So they approached us and said, could we train as well? Could we get some people trained so that we can offer money coaching to these women? Because obviously they can be left in very difficult financial circumstances in that situation. So I've been enjoying doing that. Yeah, absolutely.
Class stuff. So tell me this and tell me no more. What is the best thing about being a money coach?
The best thing. There's the challenge. The best thing is you get to see, and somebody else said this to me recently, you get to see almost like a weight lifted from people's shoulders. The penny drops. They've been brave and they've come to face up to their finances, good, bad, or indifferent. And you lead them through this process. It's a very careful process of learning to see where they're at, learning to see how they can make things better, learning to see how they can take control of things, and to see the weight lifted off people that actually it's not that hard, but it's just that we've never been taught. We've never been taught. I mean, if you just put someone into a kitchen and they'd never been showed at all what to do, they wouldn't really have much of a clue what to do and how to cook. But yet we think we should just magically be able to manage our money. But if no one teaches us, how are we going to? So just to see that relief and that sense of hope and that sense of control that people get as they are going through the money coaching process, I just love it. I say it's the best fun I've ever had in ministry, and I've done lots of different things, and money coaching is my favorite of all.
Brilliant stuff. So for anyone who is new to UCB or anyone that might be new to Christians Against Poverty in Ireland, because we jump into these conversations and I'm always thinking, you know, we're a growing ministry as you are. And sometimes we can put the cart before the horse, can't we? And we start talking about stuff and we don't give people a reference point for what it is that we're actually talking about. So for anyone who's new maybe to the show, new to the station, or new to hearing about Christians Against Poverty, give us a little bit of an insight into some of the other things that you get up to and kind of the heart behind it.
The heart behind it really is that God cares for people. And he doesn't just care about our souls. He cares about our lives day to day. Jesus came. He walked the earth. He cared very much about the details of people's life. He empathized with people who were in struggle. He empathized very much with people who were oppressed, and often being oppressed means being oppressed financially, and limited in resources. And so what we want to do is we want to reach out to people who are struggling with their finances. They're struggling to be able to know how to cope. They are feeling possibly have got into a really bad debt situation, and we want to help steer people out of that black hole, because people can get into a real black hole. People can are a lot of people, a lot of your listeners will be saying, oh, stress, money really stresses me out. And Aware did a survey this year, and they said 56% of people said worrying about money was their number one worry. 56% of people in Ireland. So we exist to be able to help people in a very practical way, show them that God loves you. He cares about the details of your life. He cares about the things that stress you out. Being stressed is not God's plan for human beings. He didn't design human beings to live in a state of stress that we all seem to these days. And so this is one practical way we work with people, we work through church partners to help people to relieve some of that stress when it comes to finance. And to demonstrate to them that, look, if you, this is like a taste of freedom. If you can have a taste of freedom from the stress of managing your money, well, what other things can Jesus give you freedom from? He can give you freedom from stress in other areas of your life. So it's a taste of the kingdom of heaven for people that we want to bring to them, but through a very practical helping people learn how to manage their money and steering them, if they're really in a bad way, steering them towards the services that can help them, and walking with them to be able to go through that whole process if someone does need help with debt, for example.
So what's the difference then between you and a financial advisor?
Well, they have qualifications for a start. So there's a qualification called a QFA, Qualified Financial Advisor. And a financial advisor can give you very specific personal advice. This is what you should do. This is where you should put your money. This is the product that's best for you. And that's not what we do. We offer people the tools. We're an empowerment organization, if you want, where we're offering people the tools to learn how to make these decisions for themselves. If someone has a particular situation like a debt that's not resolvable, then we would steer them to qualified financial advisors through MABS, because that's a free service, and we want to put people towards a free service. So we would steer people to MABS and support them in doing that. And they have the qualified financial advisors who can put in place legal debt relief solutions for them. So we're encouragers, we're coaches, we're not qualified financial advisors. So we're not telling people what to do with their money. We're telling them how to manage their money and where they can go for help if they're really in trouble. Does
So
that make sense?
yeah, absolutely. It's always important to kind of highlight the significant difference that what you do is not financial advice, and I think you nailed it. You're an empowerment agency. I love that. I
Absolutely,
think I
yeah.
want to write that down somewhere and keep it. We because that could be a the church, couldn't it? We are an empowerment agency. But
Yes,
so
we
what
are.
you mentioned there, 56% say that the number one stress in their life is their finances. It's money. And here we are, I don't know, somebody said to me the other day, 40 odd sleeps away from Christmas.
A lot
And
closer than we're the last time we talked about Christmas, yeah.
I think it could just I think a friend kind of dropped, like, I think it was like we were at 50 whenever he
Yeah.
said it, but I think we're a fair bit away from even when that was said. So I'm gonna put it in around the 40 day figure. No doubt somebody who's listening can correct me if they want, and I'm always open to correction when it's done and sent in a loving way. But for those who are staring down the barrel of Christmas with that sense of dread and fear and trepidation and anxiety and worry and stress, even in the limited time that we have between now and the big day itself, what might some of the things be that they could do to help reduce the stress?
Okay, well, I've got a bunch of stuff for you. We'll see what we can get through.
Wonderful. Can I just say, actually, before we start, what would be really great is if you could make those things available to me as well, and then we could share them. You'll probably share them on your own Christians Against Poverty
Yep.
Ireland Instagram page. Am I saying that right? So that we can
Yes, we
direct
have.
people.
There's a Cap Ireland Instagram page and a Cap Ireland Facebook group. We're not young and hip enough to do TikTok just yet, so.
I can see you doing TikTok. You've got a TikTok dance written all over you, Helen. We're in the money. We're in the, sorry. Anyway, look, let's be serious now, because actually this is a really serious matter. And so give us the stuff that you have for us.
Okay. Well, number one, and this is a number one, and it's number one anytime we talk about money, is that you need to plan. And what I would say to people is, don't start with planning the perfect Christmas. Plan the Christmas that you can afford. So before you start making lists of the presents you'd like and the food you'd like to eat and the parties you'd like to host, all that kind of thing, you need to have a look at what you can actually afford. So you need to look, what have you got saved up? If you did, if you're a money coaching graduate from earlier this year, you may have been saving all year long for this and you're just happy spending it, no problem, having a good time. But if you haven't, say, okay, what have I got? Have I got anything saved up? What do I have spare or what do I have available between now and Christmas? And please, you need to take out your essential costs out of that. You've got to take out your rent and your mortgage, and you got to eat between now and Christmas, all that kind of stuff. So have a look at what money do you have available to spend on Christmas without borrowing. Okay, so start there and make your Christmas plan fit what you actually have, what you actually can afford. So that's number one. Number two, this is an interesting one, I think. It's like, think about when you're giving gifts or you're buying gifts. Is every gift that you are buying or giving really necessary? Is it necessary to give a gift to that person? Because one thing, and I've noticed it over the years, is that we can get into a cycle of, and I do know people that sort of have, a bunch of wrapped boxes of chocolates in the house, because if someone comes to the house and brings something, they feel they've got to give something back. But we can get ourselves into a cycle of, well, so and so gave me a gift, so now I feel obliged to give them a gift, even though I don't necessarily really have the money to do that. So maybe we could all just sort of make a collective agreement to just cut down on the gift to everybody that we know and actually sort of think about, do I really need to give a gift? Am I putting an expectation on that person to give a gift back to me? And is the kinder thing to do to actually say Happy Christmas, give them a hug? Have a coffee together or whatever it might be to celebrate the season. Christmas is a Christian festival. Christmas is not a retail festival. The reason for Christmas is that it's, it is a, it, we can't argue, Chris, it is a Christian festival. That's in the name. So, it's not a retail festival, and we don't have to get sucked into the big marketing machine. And it's huge, the marketing machine that's going at the moment. So, are all the gifts you're thinking of really necessary? Another one is reset your expectations. Do you have to buy the absolute best or what is marketed to us as the best product? Is there another product that is just maybe a bit cheaper, but just as good? Now, Tim, you're a runner, aren't you? And I hope I'm not going to be contradicted here, but I presume there are. There is a range of running shoes that you could choose from when you're running. You'll have your favorite. I know you'll have your favorites. I can see his face now. You'll have your favorites, but if you didn't have the money, there's probably a second best that would probably do you okay. He's not sure about this now. You're not sure, are you?
Really? So here's the thing, right? Anyone who knows me, if I give you the answer that you're looking for, they will call me a hypocrite.
You'd be lying. You do have your favorite.
Right? And I only wear one brand.
Is it the most expensive brand?
I don't know. I just only wear one brand. Okay? I'm not even going to name the brand.
No, because that wouldn't be good.
So,
Okay.
no, just because nobody needs to know, but anyone who knows me knows
Yeah.
that I only wear one brand, and so I can't talk about any other brand. with
So you're what you
integrity.
haven't compared. So you haven't compared. You maybe haven't even
No,
tried. There could be
I
a less
don't
expensive one
even.
out there that's just as good.
I'm confident that there are a varying degree of financial options. Okay, I have found something that works for me,
That you love, and
and
that's very helpful.
therefore I don't shift from that. Now, I'm also at the other end of the spectrum because I'm an international athlete.
That's true.
Been to
So
world
for the ordinary
championships.
jogger, for the ordinary jogger,
You know what I'm saying?
yeah.
And so I've kind of my thing around that is find something that works for you and run with it.
Yeah, and
So
make the best of it. So
it really doesn't matter what the cost is in that sense of, you know,
whether it's right for you,
if
yeah.
whether it's right for you. So if that's a 5 pound trainer and that's what works for you, brilliant. Or if finances allow and it's a 500 pound trainer and they exist, you know, and your finances allowed and it works for you, brilliant. But find the thing that works, that's within your budget.
Yeah.
And if that's the thing that works for you, then wear the life out of it is
Yeah.
kind of
And that's
my
the
thing.
key. That's the key if you can afford it. And often at Christmas, we're pushing ourselves to buy just the thing that's just, the next level up when we can't necessarily really afford it, or we're going to pay for it next year. So, think about it is like, do I really need, do the kids really need? Because the kids will persuade you that they absolutely definitely need a particular brand, all that kind of thing. So just think about it. Is it an area that you can kind of say, is there a phone that's slightly different that would actually be okay? That kind of thing. Another one is probably not for running shoes, is to buy secondhand. I put my hand on my heart. Nope.
Actually, believe it or not, this is going to come as a great news to you, Helen,
Okay.
if you didn't know this, and that was your interpretation of it. A lot of the time, particularly with the more expensive shoe, so there's a particular brand who brought out an incredible shoe, revolutionized the running market. Revolutionized the way that runners run. And a pair of this particular shoe, €350 or thereabouts.
Right, yeah.
Lots of people bought them and then realized that it didn't fit their running gait and their running style. And lots of these shoes are now available as a secondhand shoe on places like Vinted and eBay and all of those things. And they're as good as new.
Well,
And
there
so
you
when we're
go.
thinking about those things, I would actually say go to Vinted, go to eBay, go to those other outlets that sell the secondhand items, and you will pick up as good as new.
There you go. I did not expect you to say that. So there we go. We've all learned something today. So yeah, absolutely. Look, think about secondhand. I bought at a completely different level. I have bought secondhand toys for my very young grandchildren. They didn't know the difference. They didn't care. It was going to be fairly well hard used, very hard by my two grandsons, I promise you. So, even if it had been sparkling when I gave it to them, it would pretty soon be a bit bashed anyway. So, consider it, like you said. And I mean, when is something just secondhand, and when does it become, vintage and desirable? So think about it. That you could have someone in your life who would really appreciate like a vintage, secondhand vintage item of clothing, or running shoes, whatever it might
But
be.
even, Helen, let me just jump in here. Even with technology. So I'm very privileged in that, you know, I've got a computer that is a work tool, but I also use it to watch video, you know, to watch movies on and different things like that. And it goes everywhere with me. And it's a MacBook. So it's an Apple product. And they're very expensive. And so the app, this one that I have, it's a MacBook Pro that I use. It new, they're about, I don't know, maybe 13, £1,400 sterling. I have a reconditioned one. It's 2 years old and I paid £400 for it. Right?
Absolutely.
I have an iPad because I like Apple products. I'm one of those.
I presume you have the iPhone as well.
I do have an iPhone as well.
Keep
Yes,
it all in the
that
family, yeah.
but I don't have my iPhone is not the most recent iPhone, and I replaced it. I re I my contract was renewed recently, and I did get a new phone to me, but it's not the most recent iPhone. I think, it's like the three or four maybe models
Yeah.
from the go, because that's all I need. And so I'm wise with that. But my iPad, I've also got an iPad Pro, and that was refurbished as well. It came to me good as new, and I'm pretty certain I paid like £200 for it,
Yeah.
as opposed to the thousands plus that I could have paid. And
Exactly.
I'm saying this in as an encouragement to anyone who's listening, who's thinking, I've got to go and buy the new Apple product or the new Samsung or the new Galaxy, because that's the world that we live in, isn't it?
Yeah.
Particularly when it comes to our children. You
Yes.
know, it's there it's lovely, I suppose, when we see our children opening the box and, taking the stuff out of the package, and it's only new for a minute.
Yeah.
And I
And then they're
had to,
back on it and doing the same things they did on their old phone anyway,
exactly,
aren't they?
yeah. But it's only, it only comes out of the wrapper once, and it's only
Yeah.
fresh for a minute. And
Yeah.
that's actually something that I had to learn on a journey. It's like, yeah, a MacBook Pro that is, reconditioned at £400. It's the same technology as the MacBook Pro that I'm going to take out of the box. It's the same model.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make any sense to me to be
Absolutely.
spending the
So
extra
yeah,
money.
there are a lot of areas that you can and refurbed tech is a really a big area. And sometimes we just have to have that realization that this is a better use of my money and think of the hundreds of euro your space your pounds or euro that you're saving that is you could put to something else and not have debt in new year, that kind of thing. So yeah, so things can be reconditioned, they can be secondhand, but they're no less valuable and no less functional. Another thing,
I've already forgotten what the first two were that you said. What, remind us again?
don't plan the perfect Christmas, plan the one you can afford. So think about how much money you have before you start making your lists, okay? Which might determine which shops you go to. And are all the gifts necessary? Do we really need to give all those? This is the kind of some of the smaller things. Does every cousin really need a present? That kind of thing. And do we want to create a, yeah, do we want to create this cycle where people feel obliged to spend money that they don't have to give us a present back when really just spending some time together would be good?
Do you know what we do? So we've got quite a few nieces and nephews. We've started doing a Kris Kindle.
It's down my list. It's on
There,
my list
well, there
here.
you go. There, you tell us about it then.
Well, the Kris Kindle or to the worldly out there, Secret Santa.
Yes,
It's
that's the
the
one.
you might well people might hear Secret Santa mentioned. Kris Kindle is obviously a lovely Christian version of it. And really it's just everyone we have started doing it with our family too. And everyone puts we use an app called Elfster and you can put up your list. Elfster, as in elves, yeah, Christmas elves. And on Elfster, you can set up where you can put up your lists and you can do a draw. Although we were doing quite a small number of people in our Secret Santa, one particular Kris Kindle. And for 2 years on the trot, it drew out the same people. So we were giving the gifts to the same people. So this year, we happened to be together. We put our names in the hat and pulled them out just to even it up a bit. But anyway, basically you're putting your list up and people can choose. There's a limit on the spend. You set that according to your life, your circumstances. You set your limit and even if the limit is more than you would have spent on one person, you're only spending it on one person instead of six people or eight people or 10 people. So yeah, and people can put up a list of things that they'd like in that limit, within that limit. And choose, and you don't know who's going to be buying your present, but until Christmas Day or whenever you see them, and then you receive your gift. So it is a really, really good way, especially for that sort of wider family thing, situation where you do, like you said, you've a lot of cousins, nieces and nephews, whatever it might be. People do it in work as well. So you could, if it's not done in work and people are giving gifts, you could suggest it. And the thing is, people are getting something that they really want. Instead of another like silly novelty mug or whatever people tend to give, especially within work situations. So that's a really good way to save money and for people to receive something that they really want. and that they can really use. So it's kind of cutting the tat a little bit. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes there's an awful lot of tat around at Christmas, if people get that word. Sort of cheap little things that seem novelty things, which seem fine, and it's okay to have a couple of them in the stockings, but not too much of it.
Yeah,
So
and if they're, and I
that.
suppose if they're all your budget allows, then obviously you run with that. What we're speaking into is the excess, really, aren't we?
We are, yeah, the
Yeah.
excess and kind of why we feel we need to go for that excess. You know, how much are we, you know, again, like I said before, you know, Christmas is a Christian festival, not a retail festival. So we need to be thinking about what we're doing with our money and the messages that we're putting out to our children and to our friends and neighbors as well. So another one I would say to you, and it's not too late for this, is to start shopping early. Don't do the classic leave it to the last minute, because you are more likely to get good deals. You're more likely to have time to shop around. So shopping around is a really important thing. You know, different prices in different shops for things if you're looking for something specific. So if you start early, then, you know, try to do that. You can be more organized and less caught up in the panic that comes if you leave it. Even sort of halfway into December, it starts to get a little bit
And
pressured, doesn't it?
not to be too sexist, because
I wasn't going to
no
say it. You can say it, Tim.
lads, listen,
I
the woman is talking wisdom, listen up. So yeah,
Yeah, absolutely. Just, I mean, you know, whoever is doing the Christmas shopping,
I know
try and do it early. Well, I would say to the lads, at least try and make some effort of finding out what she'd actually like. As well, maybe get
yeah.
her to do a little list for you so you can pick from it.
I'm all for lists. That's what we do in our house. We do lists, and I've been a little bit cheeky this year. I told my family, I said, I want you to combine all of your resources together as a family. And I'm not suggesting that everyone does this. This is just because I'm done with tack. Like literally just done with the tack. I'm like,
Yeah.
I please don't. You know, and like my 13-year-old daughter, who wouldn't have a big budget, actually said there, I says, please don't buy me a gift, buy yourself something.
Yeah.
Because actually, you know, that not that I'm ungrateful at all, but normally the things that I get, they're not things that I want or need. But this
Novelty
year,
things, yeah.
for I've said to my family, for all of the occasions, birthday, Christmas, et cetera, I want you all to pull your resources together, put your money into a pot, and whatever that amount is, book me somewhere to go away.
Very nice. That's a
So
great idea.
I'm getting what I want.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
And
that's
that can also
wonderful.
work for bigger items. So if somebody's, you know, for a child who really has a heart set on something bigger, or it happens to be the year that it's the right to get them something more expensive, is, you know, club together with other family members and get that. Don't feel that the pressure has to be all on the parents, you know. We've certainly done that over the years, said to the grandparents, like, would you mind this year? You know, just adding a contribution to this particular present. So that works as well. I mean, you know, people might say, oh, well, where's the magic and all that kind of thing. But I think the magic comes in other ways. And that's, you know, that's another thing I'd say to people is for children, you know, Christmas is all about the children. And everyone says, oh, it's all about the kids. And the thing is, yes, you can make it focus on the kids, think about the kids, but not maybe in the way you think, not in piles and piles of presents that they won't really appreciate. And, you know, the small ones will just play with the boxes, that kind of thing. But think about some other things. Think about that creating memories. Think about what you appreciated when you were a kid at Christmas. What are the things you remember? Okay, you might remember a few of the presents, but there are other things that you remember. You remember the, you know, I'm hoping some good family memories. Not everybody has that. And we have to acknowledge that Christmas can be a really difficult time of year for people. But for your own children, your own grandchildren, you know, go out at night and go and look at the lights, you know. If you live in an area that has, you know, great lights on the houses, go out for a drive at night. The small kids just love that, the excitement of going out when it's dark in their pajamas and their dressing gowns and things, and looking at the lights, going for a drive. Go into town. A lot of places actually do have like a charity somebody does their house so crazily that everyone goes and they've got maybe a charity box. So go and visit the crazy house with the massive lights on. Let them have the electricity bill for that. But you just enjoy that sort of that magic side of things of just going out when it's dark and cold and looking at the lights. If you go into town to look at the lights in town, wherever you happen to be, just watch that that doesn't become a big spending spree because that can easily turn into that. We're going to look at the lights, set the expectations. Snuggling up for Christmas movies. I would say as well, the toy show is a big tradition for a lot of people, getting together, doing the toy show, but you don't necessarily need the tons of sweets and the toy show box and the new pajamas to watch the toy show. You don't need all of that. It's the getting together, because the toy show, it's an institution, but we also have to set limits and like prepare your kids to say you're going to see a lot of toys, but focus them more on the entertainment and the singers and the great kids they're going to see on the toy show rather than on the products. So the toy show is a really great institution, but at the same time, we just have to be careful that we don't buy into the whole, yeah, we got to get the new PJs and your blankets and all loads of extra food and buy presents for the toy show, that kind of thing. So be careful with that. But a lovely Christmas movie. We all have great access to Christmas movies these days on our TVs and our streaming services. So snuggle up, do make memories, read books, read Christmas books together. Some Scandinavian countries, I should know exactly which ones, but some Scandinavian countries have a tradition of just reading books together on Christmas Eve. Some Irish people might go for that. I'm not sure, but read books together, with your children. Read the Christmas classics, Christmas stories, that kind of thing. Go for lovely walks when it's cold, very foggy. You wouldn't have seen much here today in Mayo. It's been foggy for 2 days now. But go for a lovely walk, come back, have the hot chocolate. This is all creating memories around Christmas time because you have to remember for kids as well, dad's off work, hopefully, mum's off work, hopefully. Just being together as a family with not too many things to run around to do is really precious. Some people don't even get out of the pajamas on Christmas Day and they love it. And that's fine if that's what you want to do because you're creating memories. Build the gingerbread house, get the gingerbread house kit. They're pretty inexpensive. Quite a lot of shops have them. Have a go at making the gingerbread house. Do some Christmas baking together. Maybe do Christmas baking that you can take to an elderly neighbor or relative who would just love to see somebody in the Christmas season. And involve the children in helping other people as well. I remember this. Ireland is such a generous country, really, really generous. And I remember, when we came to Ireland, we realised that Irish people are a lot more generous than English people, and a lot more charitable. And in a previous life, we ran a Christmas meal. We had a meal during the week that we ran from the church, and we had a Christmas Day one. And around this time of year, my husband was kind of quite well known in the town as being involved. People would stop him in the supermarket, and there would be maybe a parent with a small child, and the parent would give the child like a 20 euro or something and ask, say to the child, give that to that man because he helps people at Christmas. And I think that is lovely to involve children in giving to others. Maybe doing a drop for a food bank, collecting and doing a drop for a food bank, something like that. Those are really important things that you can do with your children that aren't about them receiving a mountain of gifts, but it's about making memories and understanding how important it is to help others who need it, And just as a last one, on the children side of things, I'm going to mention teachers. Now, a lot of schools have policies now, and they say, please do not give the teachers a gift. And that's good. Your school might not. If your school doesn't have that policy and you're tempted to give a gift to the teacher, a card from the child that they've made themselves is a great gift. Fantastic. Absolutely. And every teacher would be delighted with that. If you really want to give something, as someone who was an early years teacher in a previous life, the best Christmases, the absolute best Christmases when at work were the ones where they had all clubbed together. They put in a couple of euro each and they gave you a lovely voucher for a shop or a cafe or a restaurant. And, I don't know any teacher that wouldn't be just delighted. If you really, really do want to give something, not just the card, then club together with other parents and your teacher will be extremely happy to go off and treat themselves over the Christmas holidays with the voucher that you gave them. So that's my hot tip for teachers. So for kids, yeah, think about making memories. That's making memories is really important, you know?
Yeah. Brilliant stuff. Helen, as always, great to see you. Great to have you on the
Well,
show. And no doubt you and I will get to chat again very soon. God bless you.
thank you very much. Thanks for having me and happy Christmas.
Take us with you wherever you go. UCB Ireland.